I don't want to know everyone's answers, it's okay. But I wonder whether anyone did actually talk about the politics that is coming in Christ and whether you mentioned that together over the course of the Christmas time. This idea that Jesus, who comes to us to reveal his kingdom and set up a new politics in the world, that's the word I was using on Christmas morning. So today the story continues because the story is all about this clash of kingdoms, and Matthew makes this very clear that there's two kings. There is the kingdom of God and there are other kings. And in this story, Herod plays the big part. But before we get to Herod, we start with Joseph. You've heard of Joseph, not the one with the technicolored dream coat, but the one with dreams, the one who got disturbed at night, the one who was faithful, the one who's honorable, the one who responded and trusted. This is, in some ways, a story for all of us, but I think particularly for dads in the room. Any dads in the room? Okay, this is, listen up, dads, this is a story for you. This is a high bar here for you. Joseph, the dad among dads, I think, right now. A really significant guy in the story. So we're reading Matthew, and I don't know if my father was an inspiration to me. This isn't a picture of his Bible, but it could be, because my father would read the Bible and then write in the Bible. I don't know if any of you, any dads do that with your Bibles. Okay, one of you, thank you. Well done, thank you. More of you should do that. This is an inspiration to your children. And not only do your children see you read, but they also see your thinking as you read. So I saw my dad, he would bring his big floppy Bible, which was as big as this one, to church every week. Can you imagine bringing a Bible like this to church every week? Can you imagine bringing a Bible to church every week? I'm still disappointed with you, really, I think. So he'd bring his Bible to church, and then he would write in it. And in the church that we were brought up in, there was lots of time for quiet, which was hard for us as children, because we had to sit still waiting for what seemed like ages for things to happen. And then someone would stand up having thumbed. You'd hear the turning of pages, quiet, thin pages turning as people. You know this story, don't you? This is what it was like. And then we'd wait for people to respond to what God was saying, and they would read out from the scriptures. And my dad was always thinking about the scripture, and I learnt to do this from my dad. Oh, I've pushed the button again. There it is. And so I don't know if, this guy's obviously, the title of this Google image is My Dad's Bible. So there is Joseph, the dad, and he's a guy who's attentive to God. But the story doesn't start where we start. The story starts a little bit further. On the previous chapter, Matthew chapter 1, you know Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy. And what's the point of this family tree that Matthew tells, name after name after name, dad after dad after dad after dad after dad after dad after dad? Why do we have all this list of dads? It's because we need to know where Jesus comes from, and he's making the point that Jesus comes, you can't see it, but it comes from Abraham, the dad of dads, the father of Israel, Abraham, and then it gets down to King David. He's a good dad, well, kind of. But he was a significant king, and we need to know because if the Messiah is coming, he's going to be in the line of King David. So we do 14 to King David, and then 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and then 14 from Babylon down to a dad called Jacob. Ah, you weren't expecting that. Who had a son called Joseph. Who had a son called Jesus. This is the story of Jesus, the king, Abraham, David, Joseph, Jesus. So we're drawn by Matthew deliberately to see the pattern, what's happening. So this is what my dad would do in his Bible. He would see the patterns and then link up the patterns. So he's given this gift to his children, all of us. We see patterns in scriptures. We can't help ourselves but join the dots. Did you see in my reading that I highlighted a few words? Did you see that? Only a few of you saw that. That's very disappointing. Okay. But what happens naturally to me is just when I'm reading scripture is that I see the patterns because my dad taught me to see the patterns. And what I saw in this story today was that in chapter 1, there is the royal context. So we get introduced to Jesus the King, Abraham, David, Joseph from the line of King David, Jesus. And then in chapter 2, when you turn the thin paper page over, you get to a battle with another king. Who knows the name of the other king in the story? Bad king. Herod, thank you, yeah. Don't look so worried. You looked like you were anxious about getting the answer wrong. It's fine, it's good. I love that. We still have that anxiety, don't we? Even though we know the answer, we're terrified of saying it out loud. This battle between Herod, who wants to kill Jesus right from the early stages. This is interesting, a way to start a narrative, a story about a king, isn't it? You have this birth of a child, and this child is already causing disturbance to the kingdoms of this earth. The new politics has arrived. And you notice, I hope that you noticed that there's lots of dreams. If you'd have read from Matthew chapter 1 all the way through to the end of Matthew chapter 2, you would notice that there were 5 dreams. You can go and find them and then mark them in your Bible with highlighter pens after when you get home. And then you'll also notice that there are 5 times when God fulfills something, and Matthew quotes the Old Testament in order to say that Jesus is the fulfillment of a promise from the old. Did you notice one or two of those as you were reading? So there are dreams where God speaks to people in their sleep. That would be a good thing for us, wouldn't it, if God spoke to us in our sleep? Maybe he is. Maybe you have heard him speak to you recently. But anyway, God is speaking all the way through this in dreams, and then he is fulfilling scripture. So let's have a look at some of those. Dream one, the Joseph dream, when he gets told, this is in chapter one, where he gets told to leave. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. It's not the right. What's the first dream of Joseph? It's the one about Mary, isn't it? This is last week's story, isn't it? The virgin will give birth to a son, and that's the fulfillment of that story. The dream two is the dream given to the Magi. And let me read it to you. Let me see if I can find it in my notes, if I haven't lost it somewhere along the line. I have lost it. See, I should use my notes, shouldn't I? I really should use my notes. Oh, well, let's forget that. But the dream is given to the Magi and they get disturbed in the dream. And oh, they see the star, don't they? And they get told about the star and its meaning. And then they call the leaders together of Israel and say, "Where is the king coming?" And then Joseph gets another dream when the Magi have talked to Herod, but Joseph gets another dream to say, run away to Egypt. Do you remember that? And then there's another dream when Joseph is in Egypt after several years. He gets another dream to return to Israel. And then the last dream is when Joseph is on his way back to Israel, but he reads about Archelaus. And he hears about Archelaus, and he hears the story, and he has another dream and says, "Don't go back to Bethlehem where you were born, where Jesus was born, where your family comes from the line of David, but instead go to Nazareth, go to Galilee, which is further up north." So there are 5 dreams, and there are 5 fulfillment stories as well. So the first one is that Joseph is the words given to Joseph. And when about Mary, the mother of Jesus, a virgin will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The second fulfillment is that there'll be a ruler from Bethlehem. I noticed there's another pattern in this, that each of them has a place within it, a name of a place. Well, God with us is, well, that's the place here. And the second one is Bethlehem. A ruler will come from Bethlehem. And the third fulfillment is that Joseph, when he's in Egypt, he needs to come out of Egypt. There's a prophecy that out of Egypt will come my son. And then the fourth fulfillment is that there'll be a voice in Ramah, a voice of terrible crying and pain and sadness as children have been killed. And Rachel, this woman is called Rachel. She's sort of like the mother of all mothers. Rachel is talking And she's crying out because her children have been killed. Terrible story. And then the last one is Joseph. And again, Joseph is being told, you know, you need to not go to Bethlehem, but you need to go to Nazareth. So that Jesus is fulfilled as a Nazarene. So what do we get from all of this? I'm helped by asking several questions whenever I read scripture, and I wonder whether you do the same. And there's a new thing that I've learned to do, which is called the Discovery Bible Study. Anyone else doing that with me? Some 6 o'clock early morning people are raising their hands with me. We do an early morning Bible study, 6:30 on Thursdays. You're very welcome to join us. Sometimes every other week, it's great. But other small groups are doing this way of learning the Bible. It's very easy to learn. Anyone can do it. You don't have to be an expert in scripture. You just have to read the text. So you read the text, and then you tell the text to each other. And that's the tricky bit, where you have to repeat the text to each other, and people correct each other and make sure that we've got the text in our heads. And then we ask these questions. What does this tell us about God? So what does this story tell us about God? So I was thinking about that. What does this story tell us about God? I'm wondering what you're thinking this story tells us about God. It tells me that God has some plans. Doesn't it tell you that? Some plans that have taken some time to work out. But it also tells me that God doesn't intervene in our lives directly and make his plans happen just because he says so. He's constantly responding to how people are living their lives. He's more like a sat-nav. You know this thing. Have you got one in your car? Of course you do. Have you got one in your car? Yeah. You know, it tells you that it's got a plan for you, hasn't it? You put the plan in, how to get home. And you drive along, and then you turn left rather than right. And what does it do? It tells you off, doesn't it? Yes. It recalculates and gives you a new direction back to the place of where it needs to head. This is how I think God works in history. I think it's a great illustration of how God works in history. There are some people that think that God has only one plan and that everything happens because God made it happen that way. I don't believe that's the way that things happen. I think this story tells us that God has a plan for our lives and also for the lives of the world, and that is that everything should become one in Christ. But there are many things that are affecting that plan. King Herod is one of them. And God has to find a way around King Herod in order to fulfill his plan. Maybe you're feeling that at the moment. Dads, any dads in the room, you've got a plan for your kid. You're having to work around the realities of things, aren't you? Yeah. This is how dads work. It's how God works. It's how we should think of God. What else does it tell us? What does it tell us about people? What does this story tell us about Joseph? Well, I think it tells us that Joseph was a man who listened to God. But listening in the Bible is not simply about hearing, it's about following through on what you hear. So first of all, he got told it was okay, Mary's pregnant, but it's okay, marry her. And so he followed through and he married her. And then he got told to leave. I don't know who he knew in Egypt. I don't know who he phoned up to say, can I stay with you in Egypt? I don't know how he managed to get to Egypt, but he obeyed and left and went to Egypt. And then in a dream, he listened again and he got told it was okay to come back. And he responded and he came back. But then he got told in again another dream not to go back to Bethlehem, but to go back to Nazareth. And so he responded again. Now, how responsive are you, dads, to this voice of God in your life? Are you being directed by God in your life at the moment? It's a beautiful story of someone who listens and obeys and follows. It's a good story for all of us, I think. And then the question always comes, well, what should we do? And we chat in our groups about, well, what should we do, given that that's what God is like and that's what people are like, what shall we do? And maybe this is the question you need to answer today. What should we do? You've heard the story. You've read the story. Maybe you'll reread it when you get home. The question is not just what do you think, but what should you do with this story? Well, I'll let you answer that yourselves. And the last question that we ask each other before leaving is, who should we tell this story to? Who needs to hear this story because it might help them on their story? Who needs to know that they could hear God? Who needs to know that God will intervene, but not always in the way that you want him to? Who needs to know that God is going to look after you and protect you from the bad kingdom that always wages against us? Who's going to need to know this story? Who could you tell this story to? Is there a dad that you need to tell this story to? So that's what we do. We ask those four simple questions. And I leave them with you today. Some of my thoughts that came up were these. I wondered about myself that maybe I should listen to God and try to give myself time to pay attention to him, that I should turn that listening into obedience and trust. I thought that maybe I should take more risks, allow him to direct me, that I should put God first and let his story be my story rather than me choose to go the way that I wanted to go. And I lastly thought that that it would be a good idea to trust God that he might fulfill his promises through me. That's the thought, isn't it? Amazing thought, that God might fulfill his promises through us. So imagine that if you were the creator of the universe and you loved Reigate and Redhill and Hawley, I don't know where else you might come from. Anyway, further away, Crawley, what about that? I don't even know where these places are, really, to be honest. What if God loved this place and he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll use these people to fulfill my purposes. Maybe this is us. Maybe God wants to fulfill his purposes through us. Children, through you. In your schools, in your colleges, wherever God takes you, maybe God wants to use you. Not a very abrupt, a very smooth ending to the talk, I don't think.